This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, alhamdulillah rabbil alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala sayyidina wa nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. First, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. So we're in the second session of Musa alayhi salam and Harun alayhi salam. And as I explained to you, that this is going to be a long one because there are many references to their life in the Quran, especially Musa alayhi salam. And one of the last things I said last week was that Allah had joined together in marriage one of the greatest enemies of Allah on the earth at the time, which was Fir'aun, greatest enemy of religion, greatest enemy of the Prophet Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. Allah married him to one of the closest individuals to Allah. So one of the people, the person who was the furthest away, who was Fir'aun, Allah married him to a woman whose name is Asiya, and she's the closest to Allah Azza wa Jalla, one of the closest to Allah on the earth at that time. After Musa alayhi salam, after Harun alayhi salam, she's one of the closest to Allah. And her mention is in the Quran. Not only here, about, you know, in ayah number 9, surah number 28, but also where Allah specifically mentions about this woman. And he mentions her time with Fir'aun and what she actually said as a dua to Allah. This is in Surah Tahrim, Surah number 66, ayah number 11. Allah says, وَضَرَبَ اللَّهُ مَثَلًا لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا امْرَأَةَ فِرْعَوْنَ. So Allah gives example of example for the believers. But the example he gives for the believers is the woman of Fir'aun. Now, just before that, he gave the example of the wife of Nuh alayhi salam and the wife of Lut alayhi salam in ayah number 10 of surah number 66. And he said, and it's very, very startling if you look at these examples. Here you've got Lut alayhi salam, a prophet of Allah, Nuh alayhi salam, a prophet of Allah, and their wives are two disbelievers. So you've got you've got people who are completely disbelieving in Allah, married to people who are the closest to Allah on the earth. And the opposite happens, where the man is the furthest away from Allah, this is Fir'aun, and the woman is Asiya, who is a believer. And Allah says, إِذْ قَالَتْ رَبِّ ابْنِ لِي عِنْدَكْ بَيْتًا فِي الْجَنَّةِ. When she said, my Lord, make me a house next to you in Jannah. Close to you in Jannah. Let me be, basically she's trying to say, let me be in Jannatul Firdaus, in a most prominent place in Jannatul Firdaus to have a house. وَنَجِّنِي مِن فِرْعَوْنَ وَعَمَلٍ. Save me from Fir'aun and his actions. وَنَجِّنِي مِنَ الْقَوْمِ الظَّالِمِينَ. Save me from all the oppressed people, oppressing people, the oppressing people meaning the people of Fir'aun. So she's saying this dua, and Allah is praising her in the Qur'an while she's in this house. Now what do we learn from this? And we can see that as Musa alayhi salam is growing, you have Asiya that is also protecting him in a sense. Because if it was Fir'aun's way, Musa alayhi salam would be banished from the palace by now, or he would be let out. Why? Because he's already looking like an Israeli, as in from the Banu Israel. And he's looking like them. Not only that, he's also challenging Fir'aun. So he doesn't like Fir'aun's ways. He doesn't appreciate what Fir'aun does. And many a times he's on the wrong side of Fir'aun, and telling him, you know, or showing him disapproval of his actions. So Fir'aun knows this. Now Fir'aun would love to just now wipe out Musa if he could, but he can't because of Asiya, his wife. And what Allah shows here is, like, if you were to just focus on the fact that if you are next to, if you're close to someone who's doing oppression on the earth, what does that make you look like? Just think about that. You're next to someone who's doing a lot of oppression on the earth. You're next to them. You're perhaps with them. We've got two great examples in the Quran at that time. One is Fir'aun, who's the biggest zalim. His wife is one of the close believers. And at the same time, there is a man in the count amongst the close counsel of Fir'aun, who's actually a believer. And we've got that also in the Quran, in Surah number 40, ayah number 28, where Allah Azza wa Jalla mentions that this man was a close person, to, as in a person who was from the council of Fir'aun, but he hid his iman. He believed in Musa alayhi salam. He believed in the message of Musa alayhi salam. He was a believer, just as Asiya was a believer. She believed in the message, but she wasn't a person who revealed her belief to Fir'aun. Now, what does that show us? And the other man, he wasn't a man who showed his belief to the people around him. Yet he gave him da'wah in a very subtle way. What this shows is that we need hikmah, wisdom, when we give da'wah. You can't always blurt out the truth. There are some Muslims say, I don't care, I'm going to say the truth. You want to say the truth? Say the truth, akhi. But there's places where you have to use your reasoning and your wisdom and say, you know, it's better not to speak about the truth now. Imagine Asiya, the wife of Fir'aun, reveals to Fir'aun, guess what? I believe in Musa and I believe in his message. You know what's going to happen. She'll be dead. Imagine that man in the council said the same thing, that I believe in his message and I'm telling you lot to do this X, Y, and Z. He'd be finished. Now, we've got Muslims today who, you know, not all Muslims, but some Muslims, all they want to do is throw something at someone. Ah, look at him, he's hanging around with them, he's part of them, he's doing, you know, he's walking with them, talking with them. Even with the politics, because this story is going to cover a lot of politics for us. And politics are from the Quran. But what we find is that Muslims want to throw this and that at, you know, regimes and governments and say, well, they're all the same. Don't say they're all the same. Don't just paint them all in one brush. There may be some people in there who truly believe in your agenda, who want to help you, but they cannot reveal that. Because if they reveal that, they'll be kicked out of the party. They'll be banished from the party. They will no longer have the power to sit in that seat and do what they want. So you and the hikmah that we learn from this is, one is that you don't just speak when you want to speak. And the other thing is, you have to sometimes wait for the right moment to speak. So like today, you know, today we're Muslims in Britain. I don't think it's healthy for us to go out there and say, yeah, you know, once we get into power, we're going to do X, Y, and Z, and blah, blah, blah. There are Muslims out there who do all of this. And all they're doing is really causing a lot of trouble for the rest of the Muslim population. Why? Because you're talking about things that you don't necessarily need to speak about. We're in London, we're in Britain, we're in this country, we're living amongst the people now. We've got to have that hikmah and wisdom in how you approach and how you stay amongst people. Just like you look at Musa alayhi salam, he is an individual growing in the palace of Fir'aun. He is an outsider, but he's been welcomed inside because of the wife of Fir'aun. He is disapproving of Fir'aun's actions, but he's not going straight, you know, like outwardly and very sort of openly against Fir'aun. He's not doing any of that. He's just showing his disapproval, like not joining him in the things that he does. But at the same time, he's not very, you know, openly trying to show that Fir'aun, you know, I don't like what you're doing. He's not doing any of that. He's not speaking out against him. But Fir'aun can read that this man is not the same as all my other men that I've got who approve of everything that I do. Do you understand? So Musa alayhi salam, what he's doing is, you know, he's showing us hikmah here. And we need to understand there are times when we need wisdom over knowledge. Just because you've got the knowledge to do something and say something or know the truth. You know, Musa alayhi salam can see that these people have been enslaved. He can see that. He knows he's amongst them. But he doesn't speak. He doesn't say anything, but he shows his disapproval in a very sort of subtle way. And, you know, they get the message, but he's not, you know, he's not being so direct about it. So what Allah Azza wa Jal says after this, just before I go into the next ayah, is that imagine the life of Asiya, that she stays a whole lifetime with this man who's oppressing, who's killing people, who's killing newborn babies. A man who's killing newborn babies, boys, 1 year, he lets them off another year, and he's doing that. SubhanAllah. And she's under this, and she knows this, she knows what he's doing, but yet she still remains where she is. The thing is, sometimes Allah Azza wa Jal chooses people to be in a place for a reason. Sometimes Allah does that. And I know there are some of my sisters that are going to be listening to this, and they're thinking, maybe there's some brothers like that. You're stuck with a woman, you know, somewhere where you think, you know, I didn't think fate would turn out like this. Sometimes fate takes you in a place where you find yourself trapped. But what you've got to do is you've got to take these examples and say, look, you know what? The best I can do is be like Asia. That's the best I can do. There are sometimes brothers who get to the stage. It doesn't mean that you have to always rebel and get out of that situation and move out. And I know that there's detail that's needed here, but just take the message that sometimes when you're really trapped, there's no way out, you have to become like these people and say, well, you know, I'm just going to keep my du'as with Allah Azza wa Jalla. And she said, "Najini min Fir'aun," you know, save me from Fir'aun and his actions. Save me from Fir'aun and his actions. So, you know, there's an example in this. So let's move on now. What happens is Musa alayhi salam, he grows up. وَلَمَّا بَلَغَ أَشُدَّهُ وَاسْتَوَى آتَيْنَاهُ حُكْمًا وَعِلْمًا. As Musa alayhi salam is growing, he's become a very healthy individual. He's got a lot of strength. He's got a lot of strength. And he's also got this short fuse in him. He can snap and he can break out. He's got a lot of strength. He can show you his might and force, but he's not that type. He's also got a very gentle side to him. And we're going to see this in a while in the story. So as he's growing up, Allah gives him hukman wa ilma. Allah gives him the quality to differentiate between something that is right and something that is wrong. Allah gives him the quality to differentiate between good and bad. Now this is something which is from the fitrah, from the natural, you know, natural sort of creation of Allah Azza wa Jal. But more so, Allah says, وَكَذَلِكَ نَجْزِ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. Those who excel in doing good, I give them this quality even more. So the people who are good amongst us, Allah gives them an innate quality and kind of an insight to know that, you know what, I shouldn't be doing this. You know what? I should be doing this. They've got this sort of inside sense of knowing what to do, what not to do. And it's according to what Allah would like and Allah would dislike as well. So, and this is something which Allah gives to prophets specifically. Like all prophets in their lives, they lead a life up to their prophethood. Because Musa alayhi salam is not a prophet yet. But up to their prophethood, they get this sense of knowing what's wrong and right, and they follow it accordingly. This is something which Allah gives them in their fitrah and the natural disposition. وَدَخَلَ الْمَدِينَةَ عَلَىٰ حِينِ غَفْلَةٍ مِّنْ أَهْلِهَا. It was daytime, it was siesta time, really hot, people are sleeping, and most of the soldiers are taking a doze, and he enters into the main part of the Egyptian, you know, city of Misr. He enters into there, and فَوَجَدَ فِيهَا رَجُلَيْنِ يَقْتَتِلَانِ. He finds two men quarreling. Now the word used is yaqtatilan. This quarrel is something that potentially could lead to one killing the other. And it's quite obvious who might kill who. There is a Coptic who's a Qibti. We call it in Arabic, we say Qibti. In English we'll say Coptic. Coptics are the men of Fir'aun. So there's a Coptic soldier, and there is there's one of the members of Banu Israel. And, you know, the nation of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. And both of them are arguing. And it's a severe sort of argument. And Musa alayhi salam just happens to come and find them arguing. هَذَا مِن شِيَعَتِهِ وَهَذَا مِن عَدُوِّهِ. Allah mentions this, that this one is from his party. This one is from his group. Meaning the man from Banu Israel. وَهَذَا مِن عَدُوِّهِ. And this one is from his enemies. Now, there's a big lesson here. Why does Allah mention this before he moves on to the next part of what happens? Because we have pre-notions in our minds that give us a sense of what we want to do based on what we already know. So let me explain this. When Musa alayhi salam came there, he sees a Coptic soldier arguing with the Banu Israel, and in his whole mind he's got, you know what, these soldiers, they've been oppressing Banu Israel, and I've seen it, and I know what they do. Because of this in his mind, he's seeing straight away that this soldier is the oppressor, And that man from Banu Israel, he is the oppressed. And because also there's a likening and closeness to the Banu Israel with Musa alayhi salam, he favors or he has this kind of, you know, sorrowful feeling towards him. Whereas he has some kind of, you know, feeling of hatred towards the soldier. It's natural because of his background, because of what he's seen all his life. And that's why Allah mentions this, that this man is from his party, his, you know, tribe, and that man is from his enemies. Why? Because brothers and sisters, when you listen to the next part of the story, keep this in your mind. It's going to reveal something to us. It's going to reveal our behavior. So let's move on. Allah says, فَاسْتَغَاثَهُ الَّذِي مِنْ شِيَعَتِهِ عَلَى الَّذِي مِنْ عَدُوِهِ. The one that is from his own tribe, his tribesman, who is the man from Banu Israel. He says, Musa, help me out. Musa, help me out. Okay? Now, they're in a fierce struggle, whatever the struggle was between them two, and Musa alayhi salam is sought for help. So Musa alayhi salam comes to help. As in, he wants to push this guy away. They're very close to each other. And God knows what might happen in the next moment, is all it will take is for the soldier to pull out a knife or something, stab the Banu Israel guy. He could do that any moment. And if he was to do that, no one's going to batter an eyelid. In this city, under Fir'aun, yeah, no one's going to batter an eyelid. Musa alayhi salam knows this. So it's a heated moment. And Musa alayhi salam comes up and he wants to push this guy away from, push the soldier away from Banu, from the man from Banu Israel. So Musa alayhi salam, you know, he's got his strength. Don't forget, he's a really, really nice, strong individual, right? Allah's given him some power. At the same time, he has this slight temper in him. So put those two things together and the pre-notion that he has, he punches this man away. Okay, he's just gonna punch him one so that, you know, he can just punch him one straight in the chest, knock the soldier down, so the soldier will just back off from the man from Banu Israel. Okay, that's all he intended to do. And nobody's going to say anything to Musa alayhi salam because Musa alayhi salam is one of the people living in the palace of Fir'aun. Okay, so there's no questions on him in punching this guy and just moving him away. فَوَكَزَهُ مُوسَى. So Musa alayhi salam threw a punch onto his chest and threw him back. And this soldier fell straight onto the ground. But when he fell onto the ground, قَضَى عَلَيْهِ. He died. He didn't get back up. He just lay flat. And I could be anything. It could have been the punch, the impact of the punch straight onto the heart that could have caused a heart attack. It could have been the way he fell and the back of the head going smack straight onto the ground. You know, it happens, right? Even in boxing and things like that, it happens. Sometimes a fatal blow, you know, just with the way you fall down backwards. It's like very rare, very unexpected, but it just happened. And Musa alayhi salam is stunned there waiting for him to get back up. He's not getting back up. They check his pulse and they know that he's dead. Now Musa alayhi salam did not intend to kill this man. There is no way he intended to kill him. And he's looking at the Israeli, you know, the man from Banu Israel, and he's looking at him and they... Musa alayhi salam says, قَالَ هَذَا مِنْ عَمَلِ الشَّيْطَانِ. He said, this is from one of the actions of the shaitan. Meaning that, you know, he's not saying that his own action, what he did, is from the action of the shaitan, so that the shaitan is influencing. No. He's saying that the whole scenario of how all the things came together is something from the shaitan. And what do we learn from this? What we learn from this is sometimes, you know, when you get to a heated moment, okay, you get a heated moment, that don't just forget that there might be you, there might be two others there might be things going on, okay, there's a heated debate going on, yeah? Please don't forget, Uncle Satan is somewhere in between the three. Okay? So he could be flaring, meaning that this shaitan made the Coptic flare at the Israeli, and this shaitan made both of them struggle with each other just at the time when Musa alayhi salam was coming, and now it's going to make Musa alayhi salam to deep trouble. Not that this, I mean, Amal Shaitan doesn't mean that, you know, shaitan made him punch this man. It doesn't mean that. Okay, so let's make that clear. It means that the whole scenario and how things came together, it was from the shaitan that this all happened. إِنَّهُ عَدُوٌ مُضِلٌ مُبِينٌ. He is clearly an enemy that leads astray. And this is in ayah number 15 of surah number 28. He then turned to Allah and said, رَبِّ إِنِّي ظَلَمْتُ. He said, my Lord, I clearly have wronged myself. Like, as in, look, he's here with a dead soldier. I've wronged myself. فَغْفِرْ لِي فَغْفَرَ اللَّهِ. As in, what can I do right now? If Musa alayhi was to go and report back, I accidentally killed one of the Coptics. You know what that means? That means Musa alayhi is dead. They're going to kill him. Firaun's waiting for Musa alayhi just to slip up, because he knows that this man doesn't approve of his actions. So Firaun's waiting for that. So if Musa alayhi was to turn around and say, look guys, I just accidentally killed him. First, no one's going to believe him. How could you just accidentally kill a man with one blow? You must have broken his head or, intentionally killed him. There's no way this can be an accident. No one's going to believe it's an accident. A second thing is there's going to be retribution. Musa alayhi salam will be taken in. Now he knows that. That's why he turned to Allah for forgiveness. As in, he can't do anything else except ask for forgiveness from Allah. He can't go back. And he would love to go back and say, look, I'm sorry, guy, this was a big mistake and a fault, whatever. I'm trying to get forgiveness from the family members, whatever. He'd love to do that. But this is not the moment to do that. This is the moment when he's going to face death for an accident. So he said, Faghfirli, oh Allah, forgive me. And Allah says, Faghfar Allah, I forgave him. Meaning that, don't worry. This punch, an accidental death, was something which Allah had decreed. Allah decreed this. Now here's where we learn a little bit about Qadr. Musa alayhi salatu salam, though he has the fear, he might get questioned by the day of judgment about this. Because Allah willed it to happen, because Allah wanted it to happen, at this moment, Musa alayhi salatu salam is not going to get questioned about it. You guys understand? If Allah makes me do something in my life, which He made me do, and He wanted a bigger consequence coming out of that, because we're going to see what happens. Because of this one punch, you're going to see what happens to the life of Musa. His whole life is going to now turn upside down. And Allah decreed all of it. Allah wanted, through this one punch, Allah wanted to take Musa alayhi salam out of the city. He wanted to take him away from Fir'aun, all his men, all of Banu Israel. He wanted to give him training. He wanted to take him out to the wilderness. He wanted to prepare him to become a prophet. And for that, he couldn't keep him there in the place where he was born and brought up. He couldn't. There were circumstances that wouldn't make him the person that he would become if he went outside. And for that, Allah decreed this. And for that reason, Allah is not going to question Musa alayhi salam on the day of judgment and say, Musa, you killed this man and therefore you've now got to find some way of giving retribution. No. Just as, Adam alayhi salam, when he ate from the tree, there is no questioning to Adam alayhi salam, why did you eat from the tree when I told you not to eat from the tree? There's no question why. Because it's one of those things Allah decreed. He did it, yes, and there's guilt and there's feelings of why did I do it? Oh my Allah, please forgive me, Rabbana, Zalamna, Anfusana. All those things are there, that's fine. But Allah's not going to question him because Allah had a greater plan. He wanted him to eat from the tree. Why? He wanted him to come down to the earth and the whole of the Banu Adam, the children of Adam would get born. Me and you would be here today. Do you understand? So it's a great plan, but because of that, Allah's not going to ask him, why did you eat from the tree? So Allah's not going to ask Musa alayhi salam on the day of judgment, why did you kill that man? So we understand a little bit about Qadr here. And Allah says, innahu ghafurur rahim. This is forgiven, as in, this is forgiven. I'm not going to even ask him about the situation. قَالَ رَبِّي بِمَا أَنْعَمْتَ عَلَيْهِ. He said, oh Allah, you've been so kind to me. My Lord, you've been so kind to me. Why? Because all his life he can see, Allah's just favored him in growing up as the only Israeli, only man from Banu Israel who's living in the palace of Fir'aun. He knows his background. He knows his life. He's grew up. And he knows that Allah has given him this special position. فَلَنْ أَكُونَ ظَهِيرًا لِلْمُجْرِمِينَ. I will not become one who backs those who are sinners. Meaning that even though this man has just died, This is not going to make me go to the other side and start supporting the Coptics. You gotta understand this. Sometimes we make a mistake. Just because you make a mistake, you wanna make up for the mistake. And to make up for the mistake, you might think, you know what, let me go to the other side. Let me make them happy. Let me sort of, you know, be at ease with them. Let me just give up my principles for a little while. Let me just be some kind of, you know, let me succumb to them. Let me, you know, give in to them. People do this because they think that they made a mistake. You go to the other party, you go to the other side, you go to the enemy's side, and you try and like give in a bit because you made a mistake. And he's saying, look, I'm still not going to do this. Even though there's a mistake, this man is finished, he's gone, I'm still not going to back any of those Coptics. Though this one died accidentally. فَأَصْبَحَ فِي الْمَدِينَةِ خَائِفًا. In the city, he remained fearful. Now fear has crept. Why? There's a dead soldier out there. There's no time to take this dead soldier and bury him. There's no time to do that. Because if they get caught in that, that is some serious damage. You're trying to kill, you kill a soldier, you bury him in the city of Fir'aun, you probably have your arms and legs cut off from both sides for doing that. Fir'aun's a man who would do that. So they just left the soldier. Israeli went his way. Musa alayhi salam went his way, and Musa alayhi salam, he feared all night. And yataraqab, and he kept on looking, watching. Now this is a beautiful part of the Qur'an that explains a deep matter to us. You know, this is all psychology, part of psychology. And I'm not trying to say to you that, you know, I'm not using psychology and then saying and applying psychology over the Quran. I'm not doing that. I'm just telling you, naturally, Allah has taught us the deepest emotions of human beings from the Quran. So here's a prophet, a man has been killed. He himself, what does he do? Musa alayhi salam keeps on watching. Normally in a night he wouldn't do this. He keeps on watching out, he keeps on looking, who's coming, who's going? Who's going in that direction? That was the direction where I killed that soldier. And Musa alayhi salam carries on walking up and down, seeing which soldier is going in which direction, and who is going towards that direction in particular. Why? Because he wants to know if anybody has found out that there is a dead soldier. And if somebody has found out there is a dead soldier, what are they actually saying amongst themselves? Are they saying they know who it is? And if they do, who it is? I want to hear the name. Is it my name that they're saying? That they know? Are they saying that they know it's an Israeli? Will somebody who never actually killed the man get blamed for this killing? Because that could also happen. Somebody who never killed this man could get blamed for it. And Musa alayhi salam would feel even more, you know, he'll feel worse inside. He killed a man accidentally and some other man gets killed for that. He would never want that. And so he's listening and he's terrified of what might actually happen. Now, what does Allah teach us from this? Subhanallah al-Azim. And anyway, we know Musa alayhi salam is innocent. But let's just come to the real world. In our world, sometimes there's a crime. They've seen, these are the real stats and real investigations. You know, the person who commits a crime in a place, there is a 70% chance that criminal, I'm talking about our world, I'm not talking about Musa alayhi salam now, I'm talking about our world. There is a 70% chance that the criminal will revisit that place that day because he wants to know what's going on. He wants to know whether he's being caught. He wants to know what other people think. He wants to gather the information about the whole scene. So if there's a robbery somewhere or if there's a theft somewhere, there's a 70% chance, especially if it's a theft, that the thief will come back to just walk by, just follow by. He's not going to come back and start going inside. He's just going to walk back. Or he might come inside, but he'll pretend to be an ordinary person, just inquiring, you know, what's going on? What happened? Yeah. Even when there's a fight, there's a serious fight and someone's got hit badly, there's a 70% chance that the person who did it will come back to that place. And it's happening. And they know in criminology to actually that day to watch out, to look at the kind of people that are visiting the place. But anyway, what it shows here is that there are deep emotions, and Musa alayhi salam, he's got this fear. But anyway, the whole night passes by. He doesn't hear anything. He doesn't hear any of the soldiers say that they know who it is or this man. They're still thinking, okay, it's a dead soldier. We still got to find out who did it. The next day he comes back out. When he comes out, he visits the same kind of place. He's now looking to see, you know, that the dead soldier's gone. But what does he see? He sees yesterday's Israeli, the same man from Banu Israel who argued yesterday, who Musa ﷺ tried to help, the same man is arguing with another Coptic. And now Musa ﷺ is puzzled. You know what's going through his head? What's going through his head is, I helped you yesterday. I helped you yesterday. Because of you, I even killed a man accidentally. And I don't expect you again to get into another argument, another fight with a Coptic, just as you did yesterday. Now seeing you today, arguing with another Coptic, it makes me feel, I'm just saying his mind, what I've gone in his mind. Seeing you today makes me feel like I could have been wrong yesterday. I probably struck the wrong man. I probably, instead of punching him to get him away from you, maybe I should have punched you to get you away from him. You understand? Now let's visit that ayah Allah said, هَذَا مِن شِيَعَتِهِ وَهَذَا مِن عَدُوِّهِ. Why did Allah say that this one's from his party and that one's from his enemy? Why? Because naturally, because of your background and your affiliation and your past and your history, you will always be closer to the one who's from your party. Naturally, it doesn't matter how careful you are, you'll have an inclination towards them. But you've got to be fair. You've got to be able to investigate the matter properly before you take sides. And Musa alayhi salam is thinking, what have I done? I could have made the situation possibly different from what it was, but it was because of this man. So what do we learn from here? We learn from here that you've got maybe a family member, you've got maybe a, you know, colleague, you've got someone who's close to you, you've got to be, you know, just because they've told you a sad story, just because they told you to help them doesn't mean that they are oppressed. Just because they told you how oppressed they are, you've seen how oppressed they always are, doesn't mean that they always are going to be oppressed. I want to give you another scenario, like right now in some Muslim countries, there are fights going on with their enemies. Now, I know, you know, we feel sorry for our Muslim brothers and sisters, but don't always think that our Muslim brothers and sisters in every single circumstance are always oppressed and they're in the wrong. Please don't think that. Sometimes your own Muslim brother, your own Muslim sister in some of these countries, not all of them, I'm talking about some of them, might be doing something that is wrong towards their enemies. In those circumstances, the enemy is actually the one, in those circumstances, that he was right. Just in those one, not overall he was right, but in those one or two circumstances, you should have told your Muslim brothers and sisters to stop it, move back now. Yeah, just as Musa alayhi salam is thinking right now. So what Musa alayhi salam does is when he comes, Musa alayhi salam says to him, إِنَّكَ لَغَوِيٌّ مُّبِينٌ. He says, you, to the Israeli, he says, you're clearly disillusioned. You're the one that is in the wrong. Now Musa alayhi salam, this time today, he's straight away against the Israeli, his own man, and he's for the Coptic. Not because he's backing the Coptic, but because he thinks this man's just argumentative. You know, he just likes to argue. He was arguing yesterday, he's arguing today. Now Musa alayhi salam is getting ready. All right, now you know he's getting ready. He's got his, you know, body and all that. He's getting ready. فَلَمَّا أَنْ أَرَادَ أَنْ يَبْتِشْ. When Musa alayhi salam showed his hand drawn towards this man, this Israeli man just got completely scared, completely frightened out of his skin, and he said, "Ya Musa." Now, when Musa alayhi salam comes, he draws his hand. Now, he draws his hand. He's thinking about the man who's Israeli. He's thinking, you're the one wrong. But at the same time, what he's trying to do now, he's trying to calm the situation down. And what happens is, the man becomes frightened and he looks at Musa and says, "Ya Musa, aturid an taqtulani kama qatalta nafsan bil amz?" He says, "You're gonna try
kill me just as you killed a man yesterday?
Now, out of fear, he just blurted out, you're going to try and kill me just as you killed a man yesterday? Now, no sooner did he say this, you can imagine what is happening in the mind of the Coptic soldier. Now the secret's been revealed, who's the one who killed the Coptic soldier yesterday? And the Israeli is still talking.
In turidu illa antakuna jabbaran fil ard wa ma turidu antakuna min al mustahid. You just want to show your strength and your might on the ground. You don't want to sort things out. You just want to show your might and strength.
Now, whoa, this man just talking. And it's basically what he's doing is, what the Israeli is doing is, first Israeli is fearing for his own life. He might be dead today. Okay. Second is, he don't want to get beaten up by Musa. Even if he's not going to die, he don't want to get beaten up. Third is, he is snitching on Musa so that he can get him into trouble. That, you know, you say, don't come near me, I'm going to grass you up, yeah? What you did yesterday. So he's put all it together, and now he's just turned the whole thing and put Musa in trouble. Now, and the other thing is, look, the intention of Musa alayhi salam, if he knew that this man is going to snitch on him, if he knew the man is going to blurt out that he killed someone yesterday, do you think Musa alayhi salam would have drawn his hands towards him? No, he wouldn't. But Musa alayhi salam now is in this predicament. What does he do? Sometimes, look, you don't even intend to for this person to feel in a way, but this person felt in that way. You didn't mean that you're never going to kill him. You wouldn't kill him or anything. You wouldn't beat him up so bad. But the man took it like that. You know what did this teach us? This teaches us, just because you feel in a certain way doesn't mean another man has to feel the same way. Nobody knows your intention. Nobody knows how much you have intention of harming someone. Nobody knows that. Nobody can measure that. They just got fear inside them. So anyway, what happens is, Musa alayhi salam, now his secret is revealed. The Coptic soldier runs to the other soldiers. He tells them all. He says to them that, you know what? You know who the killer is? It's Musa. Now, straight away, there's an emergency meeting. And the council is getting together to decide on the fate of Musa. Why? Because nobody can touch Musa unless who gives the authorization? Fir'aun. So they're having a meeting with him. And what then happened? Now this is going to be the end of Musa alayhi salam. Had Allah not done something else. Now this is all Allah's planning. He makes Musa alayhi salam grow up in there. Why does he make Musa alayhi salam grow in that palace for 20 something years? Why? Because when he makes Musa alayhi salam grow up for 20 something years, Musa alayhi salam doesn't grow up with the fear of the enemy. You understand? That was Allah's plan first. He wanted him to grow up in that way, so that he's got no fear. You've seen Fir'aun. He's lived with him. He's disagreed with him. He's shown his disapproval. Fir'aun doesn't have that same way that he looks at an Israeli to Musa. They're two different things. When he looks at Musa, Musa can look back at him. So Allah's given that. Second thing is, Allah wants to now take him out. In taking him out, he's made him punch this man. He's died. The next day, he comes back again. He tries to stop another fight, and that's when what happens is the secret's out. Now that the secret's out, Musa alayhi salam is in fear again. Now if Musa alayhi salam remains where he is, he's going to be finished. What does Allah do? Because it's Allah's plan to get him out, Allah's going to get him out. How? Allah makes a man from the outside of the city. There's a man from outside of the city. Random guy. He happens to that day come in the city. He happens to intermingle with some soldiers. He happens to hear that the soldiers are saying, you know what? They're having a meeting inside there. And the meeting, the decision is going to be passed very soon that Musa is going to be finished. No more Musa. We're just waiting for the decision to finish and we're coming straight out. I'm going to kill Musa. So they're kind of jolly and happy. And this man happens to be a person who they can talk freely to him like this. Right? And the man is not from the inside the city, he's from Aqsa al-Madinah, from outside of the city. He happened to just come that day. He's happened to come that day and just meet the soldiers. For whatever reason, it was business, could have been anything. And he hears this. And Allah puts in his heart a sorrowful feeling for Musa alayhi salam. He thinks, man, these guys are just going to kill a man, you know. I know Musa. I've come to this palace many times. I've seen his character. I know he's a good man. And I know he doesn't deserve to get killed. Out of all these soldiers in Fir'aun, I know the character of Musa. So Allah puts in his heart that I've got better go and warn him. So he goes, he draws out of the palace, he goes and finds, you know, Musa alayhi salam, wherever he is, and he says to him, you know, he could be anywhere near the palace. We don't know where Musa alayhi salam was, perhaps in the palace, outside, but maybe some room, somewhere, wherever he was. He went straight to Musa alayhi salam and he said, Ya Musa, Inna al-mala'a ya'tamiruna bik. The council is having a meeting right now about your affair, and they want to kill you. So get out of here. I am being absolutely clear to you and honest to you that this is the case. So Musa quickly gets, you know, sneaks out of the palace. فَخَرَجَ مِنْهَا خَائِفًا. He comes out of the palace, he's scared, يَتَرَقَّبْ, and he keeps on looking back, keeps on looking around. Now Allah reveals to us that when a person is in such fear, they will be looking around. This is body language that we learn from the Qur'an. The Qur'an teaches a lot of body language. If a person is not fearful, they'll be... But if a person is fearful, yeah, you know, eye movements, the movement of the head, the movement where you look, the body movements, all that. There's all these things you can read. And there's a huge studies on this. So you know, the next time you come through the airport, yeah? The next time you come through the airport, there's a lot of movements of yours that's being carefully watched, my friend. From through the camera. You understand? You come with your trolley through the green channel. The one that says, nothing to declare. Yeah? Now, if you're a normal person, you got nothing to declare, your suitcase, you know, just full of your normal clothes and whatever else, there's nothing illegal you bought, and you're just going through there, you're going to go like a normal person. What's a normal person? Normal person just walks. Normal person just looks here, this way, and maybe right, look there, right there. Normal person will probably be talking. There'll be nice, good eye contact with the person they're talking. Normal person will just go, and out. A person who's got something illegal inside there, looks up there. You know what I'm saying? Where's the camera, boy? And a person who's got something inside there, what he does is he looks into the eye of one of the, you know, the guards there. You know, the inspectors that they've got there. He will look at them. At least one glance at them. Just look at them. Give them a quick glance at their face. Are they looking at me? You understand? That's it, boy. You're going to get caught up, boy. They're going to say, come here. Come to the side. They look for this eye movement. They're trained to look at this. But anyway, Musa alayhi salam, he's looking around, he comes out and he says, Rabbi. He then calls his Lord again. Calls Allah Azza wa Jalla, Najjini min al-qawm al-zalim, save me from all of these oppressing people. Now he's on the run. He runs and he escapes from, he's got to get far away as he can from here. He goes towards a place called Madian. Okay? The city of Madian. Now the city of Madian is somewhere that is from Egypt, it's eastward. Okay, so where Egypt is right now today on the map, it's towards the east, towards sort of Jordan and that kind of, you know, side. Now Musa alayhi salam is on the run and he's very hungry, he hasn't got any food. And he travels for 7 days on foot. 7 days on foot. In the night time, sleeping wherever. Maybe in a cave, under a tree, sleeping very rough. In the daytime, living off any green plant he can find. Any green plant he can find. He's just living off that. He's just chewing and eating just to survive. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu says that he was so hungry by the seventh day that his stomach, the skin of his stomach, was almost like going back towards his spine. Almost going towards his spine. You can imagine how hungry Musa alayhi salam is. One is fear of the soldiers because they're probably coming any time behind. And the second thing is that he's got to find a home. He's got to find a place where he can live. So when he's going towards Madian, this is ayah number 22 of surah number 28. He gets to Madian, to the city of Madian, and he says, Asa Rabbi an yahdiyani sawa as-sabeel. I have trust in my Allah that he will show me a pathway to a good pathway. He's taking me in the right direction. Now, subhanAllah, he's not questioning why all this happened. This is key to, you know, when things go wrong, this is key. That you just think that, you know what? I didn't mean this. I didn't want to kill that guy. It wasn't my fault. And the next day, for that guy to blurt out my whole thing, it wasn't my fault. Next minute, they want to kill me and I have to run. It wasn't my fault. Why did this happen to me? Oh my God. You know, people kill themselves for it. Musa is not doing this. Musa alayhi salam is turned to Allah. Allah, you must have had a good plan for this. Now, I know that you're going to show me the right path. This is the believer. Doesn't matter how bad things are. You know that Allah is going to bring you back the best way. And what's the worst thing that can happen to you, my friend? What's the worst thing? Tell me this. What's the worst thing that can happen to you in a situation like this? What could happen to you? Go on. You're going to get killed. That's the worst, right, guys? That's the worst, yes? There's two ways of looking at it. Either you look at kill as in, oh my God, they killed me. Oh my God, I'm going to miss my family. And I'm going to miss everybody I knew. Oh no. Or you can look at it the other way. They killed me, they ended my misery. They killed me, they cannot do this to me anymore. They can't oppress me anymore. They can't do what they want anymore. I'm now with my Lord, with Allah, who I always had faith in. I'm with Him. Can't get any worse than that. Now He's going to be really good out there. Okay, so there's two ways of looking at it. Musa alayhi salam is on the run and he comes to a watering place. There's a well and there's a large lid on a well. And there's also buckets to get the water. Some place, you know, some people are struggling with one another all around this well. And who's going to be the first one to get the water out of the well? And the people are just sort of scrambling with this whole place. And Musa alayhi salam is watching this. These people are scrambling. And he wants water himself. He wants water. So he's waiting there. He's sitting there. He needs the water. He's very thirsty. Allah brings him because of the quench of his, to quench his thirst, because of the thirstiness, he brings him there. So he's waiting there patiently, thinking, okay, let these people finish. Even after 7 days of traveling, he's waiting. Allah, this is the sabr that he's displaying. But he notices something strange. He notices that there are two women at the side. These two women have got their flock as well. Now, each of these people around the well, they're all struggling for the water. Why? Because they want to quench the thirst of their animals. They want to give water to the animals. And there are two women who are standing at the side. And they're moving back. They're moving back. They're like, as many people come to take water, they're not standing in a queue. They're not even trying to get inside there to try and draw the water. Every time someone comes, they just move slightly more back. But they're waiting, and it's clear that they want water as well. And he sees this for some time. So he gets up, goes up to the two women. He says, "Ma khatbukuma?" He says, what's wrong? Why are you doing this? Why you keep on moving back as people come? Why don't you just carry on moving forward and wait for your turn? Or try to get inside there. They said, "La nasqi hatta yusli rabbi'a." We can't give water to our flock until all these people have gone. When they've gone, then we get our chance. And this is every day. We just have to wait here patiently. Wa abuna shaykhun kabir. And we have a father who is an old man. And because of that, our father, we have no brothers, we have no other family members, we've only got a father. And that father is old, and that father can't come out here and do this. And we're two young women, and we just have to just stand there, wait for them to finish it, and then we got the end of when everyone's gone, they're satisfied, we then draw the water and we give water to our flock. Musa alayhi salam felt sorry for them. Now this is just an act of a voluntary act. Musa alayhi salam no way knows what is happening and what he's doing, to whom he's doing it to. He just wants to help people. That's it. He just gets, he says, okay, fine. He said, I'm going there, getting the water. He goes in there amongst the people. And he gets there and with his left arm, he lifts the entire lid. Yeah? Wow, some powerful guy there. These two sisters are watching him. And then he comes all the way with the water and he gives it to the two women, lets them quench their the thirst and the thirst of the flock. And Musa alayhi salam draws back after he quenches his own thirst, he draws back and he goes under a tree. And you know, this is just a voluntary act, he just did that and nothing of it, I just helped and that's fine, but I'm under a tree. And he thinks, إِنِّي لِمَا أَنزَلْتَ إِلَيَّ مِنْ خَيْرٍ فَقِيرٍ. He says, Rabbi, my Lord. Again, look, every time, look at the tawakkul he has. When he killed the man accidentally, he said, Rabbi, إِنِّي ظَلَمْتُ. My Lord, I seek your forgiveness. Rabbi, بِمَا أَنْعَمْتَ عَلَيَّ. Oh Allah, you favored me so much. I'm telling you, I will not back the people who are sinners. Then when he's actually fleeing from Fir'aun's palace, he said, Rabbi, my Lord, save me from the people who are oppressors. Then when he gets to Madian, the dua he makes, he reaches the city, he makes a dua. My Lord, you know, you guide me to the straight path. And then now, he does his voluntary act, he comes under a tree, and again, Rabbi, my Lord, إِنِّي لِمَا أَنزَلْتَ إِلَيَّ مِنْ خَيْبٍ فَقِيرٍ. I surely am desperate to receive, and I'm really need, great need of receiving any goodness that you're going to bring my way. He's sitting there, just whatever happens now, you know, he's still going to be on the flea. He doesn't know where he's going to go next. فَجَاءَتُ إِحْدَاهُمَا. He sees in the distance someone coming. And who he sees is one of the two sisters who he did a voluntary act of helping them. One of those sisters is now coming back towards him. تَمْشِي عَلَى اسْتِحْيَا. What he notices is, this woman who's coming towards him, she's walking in a very modest way. She's walking with her eyes down. She's walking in a way that she does not want to expose her, you know, the shape of her body or anything towards Musa, you know, for Musa alayhi salam. She's walking in very like, and also, you know, when somebody's got very modest, they will take smaller steps. And they will be very hesitant to sort of be there alone with you. You can see the modesty and the bashfulness and shyness that is inside them. So this woman comes to him and it's in her walking. SubhanAllah, again, this is body language. Tamshi ala istihya. She walks with this, you know, this kind of humbleness, and she walks with this bashfulness, shy sort of way and modest manner. She walks in front of Musa and up to him. And then she says, my father is calling you. Okay? My father is calling you. لِيَجْزِيَكْ. So he can reward you for doing what you did today. Because what happened is the two sisters went home early. And the father was surprised. He said, how come you're here, my girls, how come you're here back so early? So they said, today there was a man who looked disheveled. He looked in tatters. Looked like his shoes were almost going to go. And he was he was really hungry. We could see it. And at the same time, he was a stranger. We'd never seen him before. And a man who just, now in this town, this is a town where people don't care for one another. And they said, this stranger just got up and he came and asked us about what he was, our matter. And he went straight inside there and he just got the water for us. No other stranger would do that for us. But today, father, he did it for us and gave us water. That's why we're here early. So now the father was interested. So he said, go and call that stranger. When she came to call him, Musa alayhi salam got up and she had a means for him to make the journey back home. To make the journey back home, you had to get onto something like a horse or a camel, whatever the conveyance was. Okay? So normally what happens is that the guide or the person who's your host, the person who's calling you, the person who knows the way, they will walk in front. That's normal. Who's gonna tell you, okay, I'm here to take you, but you know, you walk in front of me, and I'll guide you from behind. Who's gonna do that? Now it's normal for the woman to say that, okay, I'm going to lead the way and you follow me to my father's house. Musa alayhi salam, he said, no. He said, you direct me from behind. Because this is taqwa. SubhanAllah. This is taqwa. You direct me from behind and I will be in front. You tell me which way to go. And this surprised the woman. Why? Because this man has got so much, you know, so many good qualities in him. He's all alone with his woman here. He could do what he likes. But he's got, you know, first he was so strong when he lifted the lid. Then he was so generous when he gave the water. Now he's modest and he's got a great quality of showing that he is a person that is not going to, you know, be loose in any way. She's surprised at this. So he went in front, she came behind, he came all the way to the father. وَقَصَّ عَلَيْهِ الْقَصَصِ And then they start talking with each other. The father saw straight away that, you know, this man is really hungry. And he offered him food straight away. And the first thing Musa said is, why are you offering me food? He said, because... Now Musa thought from what the woman has said, Musa thought that it is because of a favor for a favor, that he's going to feed him because he's done the daughters a favor. And Musa said, look, I'm not here to eat because of the favor. This is a person who's going to become a prophet. He's got high qualities. And the father said, no. He said, I'm not feeding you because you gave my daughter, did a my daughters a favor. I'm going to feed you because it is my honor to feed a stranger and someone who's traveling by. And that's why you're here. And my forefathers and those who I know have always honored guests. So you are my guest. So that's when Musa ate. And as he ate, they got chatting. And as he chatted, one of the things that the father revealed to him said, look, you're safe here. Don't worry. This is not a place where Fir'aun has his men coming. And this is not a place where his kingdom stretches. So you can tell me what is going on. So Musa has revealed to him his whole past. And this man, whose name was Shu'aib, and we're going to get to which Shu'aib it was, who he was, he said to him, لَا تَخَفْ He said, don't have fear. نَجَوْتَ مِنَ الْقَوْمِ الظَّالِمِينَ He said, you are safe now from the hands of the people who are oppressors. You are safe. Okay. Now there's going to be another twist to the whole story of what happens from here onwards. Okay? And we're going to cover that inshallah in the following week. We'll end it here today inshallah. Jazakumullah khair wa akhir da'wan alhamdulillah rabbil alameen. ذكر علم ونور الحاملات سنا ونور والرسمات هنا سرور يحلوى تلك السنين